of home has died.
Welcome to Hope is Alive. Yes, hope is alive in our Lord Jesus Christ. Why? Because he said so. Jesus said in Luke, and he said unto them, I beheld Satan falling as lightning from heaven. Behold, I have given you authority to tread upon serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall in any wise hurt you. Nevertheless, in this rejoice not that the spirits are subject to you, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven. Did you hear that? The spirits are subject to you, and you've been given all power over them. Now in Matthew 10, he was speaking to his disciples, and he said, as you go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse the lepers, cast out demons, freely received, freely give. And then in Mark, he said unto them, go ye into all the world, and preach the gospel to the whole creation. And he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that disbelieveth shall be condemned. And these signs shall accompany them that believe. In my name shall they cast out demons. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall in no wise hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. Join us as we celebrate these verses given to us in God's holy word. Tonight we have a live interview with Mr. Everett Cox of Deliverance Ministries in Oklahoma City. We'll hear some more of his story and give you a chance to call in and ask questions concerning deliverance and setting the captives free. If you have a question about the issue of demons or evil spirits, then this is the time to call and ask. Join us because hope is alive in our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
And good evening and welcome to Hope is Alive. And good evening, Brother Ralph.
Good evening, gentlemen.
Hey, good evening, Pastor Cox. How are you this evening?
I am blessed. Good evening to both of you.
And looking forward. I know we've got a couple callers, so men, looking forward to a good broadcast, and I'll sure let you know when they call in.
All right, Richard. Appreciate it. And we do welcome everybody for tuning in tonight to Hope is Alive. And what is Hope is Alive? Well, it's the show about testimony. And what is that testimony? Well, it's the captives that have been set free. And how have they been set free? Well, through the process of deliverance performed at the hands of everyday Christians like you and me. If you have any questions regarding deliverance, go to deliveranceusa.com. There's a wealth of information there at that website. It'll help you with your, it'll help you with self-deliverance. It'll help you administer deliverance. It'll help you to instruct you to become a better deliverance minister. Or you can get the book written by Pastor Cox, Doing the Supernatural Works of Jesus. You can obtain that by calling Richard at the office at 307-742-7582. Well, if you'd like to have that book, it'll certainly get out to you. And that book is an excellent, excellent manual that was written by Pastor Cox, has all his years of experience written down in it. So it's a step-by-step process for casting out evil spirits and many other things in there. The ministering of the baptism of the Holy Spirit, to cleaning out homes, all kinds of things in there. Plenty of testimony as well. So the way I look at it is, don't try to reinvent the wheel. Don't try to work harder, work smarter. So get the book. He's already done the labor. But Pastor, you know, I was thinking today, I was just in just such a wonderful mood. I mean, it's the rare thing. I'm not a big fan of snow, but we actually got a little bit down here, and it was, you know, where I was driving, just when you get out in these Ozark Hills, the snow on the ground, it looks so pretty. I was in such a good mood, and I started listening to Christmas music, specifically the religious Christmas music. And there is just some really fantastic worship and praise and some of those old Christmas hymns, and it put me in such a good mood. And I was just thinking about how spirits can be affected by good music. Of course, they can also be affected by bad music. And then I got to thinking about how there's just a lot of suicide this time of year, and it has to be the wickedness of the enemy, because this is a time that we celebrate and remember the birth of Jesus. And if we didn't have that birth of Jesus, we would never have the death, burial, and resurrection if we didn't have the birth. And there was quite a celebration going on by the angels in the heavens. You can read about that, and I think it's in the book of Luke, chapter 2. And given to this day, a Savior for us, a Savior for Israel. And that's just a wonderful thing. It's just a wonderful spirit. But I know this time of year there's so much suicide, and I just got to thinking it has to be spirits that are causing that.
We run into a lot of spirits of suicide and cast them out, of course. The problem is we don't get them all. People don't even come for ministry, and the enemy winds up taking them out. But they probably manifest, like you say, even more so this time of the year, because, well, Christ is being lifted up. There's Christmas songs going on about the Jesus and so on, and their demons certainly don't want to hear it. So they're stirring, and the person's picking up on it and feels that something uncomfortable inside of them going on. They don't know why. And, of course, the demons with their live program are pushing that constantly about they might as well take themselves out. Nobody loves them. You'll never amount to anything. You're a failure at what you do, that kind of thing. We run into that live program just as I did Monday night. I got the head demon up. It gave me the top 10 lies. It was speaking into the person. And the same kind of what I just mentioned, defeating kind of thoughts that are being pushed into Christians' head for the very purpose of trying to take them over the edge.
Well, it's definitely something we have seen. I remember the testimony of, actually, I think I was in Oklahoma that weekend. And that's why it sticks out for me. I didn't work with the man, but there was a man who was going to commit suicide. He had bought the rope, had it all planned out, but by the grace of God, he knew about Deliverance Ministries and decided, you know what, I'm going to go there instead and see if this works. And he had that spirit of suicide cast out, and it was just, you know, just a fantastic thing. I mean, he had purchased the rope. And a lot of things. When men start talking about it, there seems to be that to be a spirit that attacks men more than women. When men start talking about it, and you know people are, start acting, exercising authority against these spirits and bind them. If you can, try to witness deliverance to them, but at the very, very least, bind these spirits, because we have all power and authority, and we can command these spirits to be silent, not communicate to people.
The problem is most Christians don't know they have that power and don't even know about the enemy to bind. They've never had any teaching in their churches. So as far as they're concerned, there aren't such things as demons, evil spirits about trying to steal, kill, and destroy, as Jesus said that they do. But most Christians have never been taught, and I was one of them. I was one of them for 44 years. I didn't know anything about this. But praise God, someone shared. And that's why we're on the show tonight, is to share.
That's right. That's right. We're here to share, to inform, to let people know. And I was actually had a friend call me right before about an hour before I came on the air, and he says, "Is this your radio program night?" And I said, "Yeah." And he just asked me a few more questions about it, and I said, "Well, you know, it goes out." I said, "I get on the phone. I call a number in Wyoming, and then from there they get sent down to Tennessee and goes out on shortwave, and then they get sent. I'm not 100% sure. I used to, for some reason, I think it was somewhere in Pennsylvania for the internet." I said, "I don't even know how it hooks up the satellite." I said, "So there's no telling how many people listen to us." So, I mean, the opportunity to reach out there and reach people is great. But I have faith, you know, each show week I pray, "Lord, first and foremost, let this bless and glorify you and let it reach out to the right people. And I know that it is. I know that people are listening. I know people are tuning in. It can happen supernaturally. It could happen out of curiosity. It could happen just because they happen to listen to the ministry each week. You know, a lot of people just play it all the time. So that's why we're here. We're to let you know that you have. I mean, it says right there in the book of Mark towards the end of there that they shall cast out demons. And demons do affect people. They do affect Christians. And a lot of people think, well, that's not the case. Well, if that wasn't the case, then why would Christians be told, resist the devil and he will flee? So that's why we come on here. That's why we do this. And we're just hoping to help somebody. Well, Pastor, besides the case you talked about, is there any more that happened this week you want to mention?
We only had six Monday night for our usual ministry session, which was pretty low. I don't know if it's the snow that scared us Okies here. We actually had a total of 6 inches this last week. 2 inches one day and 4 inches a day after. And maybe that is why some canceled. But the cases tonight will be very interesting cases. They will be good examples, because the head demon came up in both of them, so I was able to interrogate them directly, and they tell what they were doing in that person's life. And it just goes to show how many ways people are tormented, even physically. We keep running into these head demons we find are responsible for the sickness. And in fact, when they admit they are responsible for it, we find that we can command them to take the sickness off of them, and they do it. Just like the man we had on the show a while back about the brain tumors, and he came from ministry, and the head demon admitted it had put the head of the tumors on him, and we commanded him to take those tumors, the cells, cancer cells out. He did it, and the guy we turned out was healed that night. So all that's going on, I tell you, we overlook, even those of us in deliverance ministries, how much negative stuff these demons are doing in our lives, fitting into that category to steal, kill, and destroy. I've been in it 42 years now, but we find it's more broader than any of us have thought. It behooves a Christian to learn who they are, to learn the power they have to deal with it.
Yes. And, and that is scriptural, where you talk about someone being sick and it's caused by Satan, or even caused by demons, because obviously it says there, it talks about the woman who was bound by Satan for 18 years, and she was bent over, so that was definitely a type of sickness. And then we look at the fact that the young boy that had epilepsy, most people believe it was epilepsy, but it would seize him and throw him down in the fire, and that was cast out because it was caused by an evil spirit. And then we look at the fact, look at the book of Job. Satan was able to put on painful boils onto Job. So if it can happen then, it can certainly happen now, because there's nothing new under the sun.
Yes, and we're on this side of the cross, so we have Jesus now, and the power given to us by what he did at the cross. So, unfortunately, Job didn't have that.
No, we're definitely fortunate to be on this side of the cross. I mean, I think about that often. Whenever sin enters your life or enters my life, and I go before the Lord, and I don't have to go figure out if I got to bring the turtle dove or go get a bull or all this stuff, because Jesus was that final sacrifice for us, that perfect Lamb of God sacrificed, and I can go before him in repentance, and that blood is sufficient. And so it is that sufficient blood that allows us to accomplish so much on this side of the cross. I mean, I was reading in the book of Hebrews there, it's I want to do the first, second, or third chapter. I just got done reading it before I came in here, but it talks about how he subjected everything under his feet. Well, if everything is subjected under Jesus' feet, that means he has the authority to say, okay, Demons, you're subjected unto me, and that means that you're subjected under my followers, those who follow me and who believe in me, because I've given them that authority there in Luke 10:19. Pastor, we have our first caller on. Thank you for joining us tonight on Hope is Alive.
Good evening. How are you guys?
Fantastic.
Yeah, John, I'm so glad you called in. That's Ralph up in the Branson area. It's on here with me. John, why don't you go ahead and give some history on yourself and when you were born again and what was going on in your life and how you learned about deliverance and what your deliverances were like and changes you've seen and whatever you'd like to share. Go ahead.
Okay, thank you. I've been a lifelong Oklahoman, grew up over by Stillwater in a town called Cushing, went to Oklahoma State, lived most of my adult life in Tulsa until I moved to Oklahoma City about 5 years ago. And I was brought up in the Methodist Church. I've always been a Christian, but I didn't really take it real seriously. I believed in God, and I would say an occasional prayer. I usually went to church every Sunday and then didn't do a whole lot with it until the next Sunday. But I did go to a Methodist church. But living in Oklahoma City, I've had a few struggles, and I met a nice young lady that suggested I go here. She said, just find out what you're looking for. And I have a couple of health issues. She says, maybe they can help you with that. She said she went there 5 years ago or so. And so I did, and it was real interesting. I had no idea what I was getting into, but it was very informative. It was awesome. I'd never done anything like that before. I had been born again previously in Tulsa in a swimming pool at a church party. A guy performed that for me. But it was great. And I had a couple of health problems, and one interesting thing, I have diabetes, but I also have a irregular heartbeat. Well, I don't have it now, but I had where they zapped your heart. I did that a couple of times 5 years ago, and it would go in rhythm and then go out of rhythm and then go back in. Anyway, it'd been very good until, I don't know, 3 or 4 months ago, and I noticed, getting lightheaded, and then you check your pulse and your heartbeat's all over the place, AFib. And so then I would exercise and then come back and then go out. And the day I was supposed to go to the Deliverance Ministries earlier that morning, it went out again. I almost didn't go because you get real lightheaded, and it's kind of scary, actually. But I was in there listening to Mr. Cox, and all of a sudden, that heart just went right back where it's supposed to be. You can tell instantly when it's right because you're alive again. You're not going on half a heartbeat, basically. And it's been that way ever since. And he performed, I don't know what you call it exactly, but he knows how to heal. He performs healings, and it worked for me. And then he started working on my diabetes. And the interesting thing there, I still have diabetes, but about 10 days after that, I was at a regular doctor's appointment when they said, we need to do something about your diabetes. It's not that bad, but it's far from good, but it goes up and down multiple times a day, which it does, which, I really have no side effects from it, but it's something I would like to get taken care of. And so I just, well, wait a minute. He just said Jesus is going to heal my diabetes, and now my doctors tell me they're going to do it. So they haven't done it quite yet, but it is getting better. And it's just amazing when you believe in the God, in the Lord. Now, I'm far from a perfect Christian, and I have my own way of praying. I don't get on my knees and pray. I'll be quite honest about it. But I talk to the Lord several times a day. Sometimes it's not real good. I'll stub my toe, and I said, Jesus, why did you do that? What did I do? Why are you making me stub my toe? Or I hurt my finger. But then I talk to good things. I said, be safe. Keep me safe when I'm driving in my car. And just keep me safe. Keep my friends safe. Keep everyone safe. It's a terrible disease going on right now. And that hit home just a couple of days ago. my best friend in Cushing, wife, passed away just 2 days ago, and I talked to her maybe 2 days before that. She had been very sick, had lupus, but then she caught the COVID. And she said, it comes and goes, and right now I'm feeling pretty good. And her husband, Jay, said the same thing. They were feeling better, but it comes and goes. And 2 days later, I found out she had passed away. So it makes you wonder what the good Lord has in mind. But, you know, he has a plan for everyone. And I'm just trying to get through. Times are tough. I was still on the insurance and not having much luck doing that, but I've got a couple of other options on the table. So just got to keep the faith with the Lord, say your prayers, and be a good person. Treat people the way you want to be treated. Always speak to somebody. I mean, a lot of people are going through a lot of rough times right now. So do your best to cheer somebody up when you have the opportunity. Thank you.
Well, amen. And let me ask you, John, when you were ministered to, did you feel those spirits coming out? Or let's see, I think we got the head demon up in your case, didn't we?
Yeah, you do feel them coming out. You go into that, and you don't know what you're going to feel, but about three-quarters of the way through there, all of a sudden I got a bad case of heartburn, and I rarely get that. But boy, I did then, and just kept coming up and through your mouth, and I didn't really realize what that was. I go, man, what did I eat? But then he said, I mentioned that later, and he said, yeah, it comes in the form of heartburn occasionally. So that's what happened to me.
Yeah, wow. Well, I forgot what the name of your head demon was. Do you remember what it was?
No, I really
your
do not.
Your head demon had talked to him.
I do not.
I gave you that yellow sheet where I wrote all the stuff down, and we got the lies it was telling you. And did you know you had all those gifts that it gave you, that it said you had?
No, I really didn't. I did not think about it. I'm trying to read this right here. I don't see where it says that. But, yeah you can definitely feel something for sure. It was quite an experience. I didn't know what I was getting into, but it was really a eye-opening experience, no doubt about it.
On the sheet, what does it show your head demon was? I don't remember. At the top there, which is head demon.
I'm looking at it. I don't see it. I must be looking at the wrong sheet. Head demon.
It's a yellow tablet sheet. But, as I recall, we found out it was causing those infirmities, and that was pretty interesting. And then, I wish I had a copy of that sheet, but
I must not have the original one, because I'm looking at there's nothing written on it at all. It's just the yellow sheet that you have.
Yeah, it was a yellow tablet. Anyway. It gave the lies it had been telling you. Remember that?
I can just barely hear there. Say that again, please.
Richard, maybe you could turn the gain up some. The lies it was telling you, the demon gave us those, which is common when I get a hit demon work and communicate. It was giving the lies it was speaking into your head. And you remember those lies?
No, I really don't. I'm looking at another thing here. Let me see here.
What may have happened, you know, in about 10% of the cases that I do, the person, when the head demon is up, the person doesn't remember a thing, or they remember very little. And I had a case like that some time back, and I spent 25 minutes or so writing down the head demon and all the demons that were underneath it and the infirmities it was responsible for. Got the top 10 lies and then the God-given gifts that he had, and took about 25 minutes. And when I finally cast them all out of the package, this lady said, "Oh, I'm so sorry I dozed off. I didn't sleep well last night." So I said to her, well, I showed her the yellow tablet, and I said, "Well, all of this came out of your mouth, you know." So maybe you were kind of in and out, excuse me, in and out when that head demon was talking out of your mouth. It does happen that way, but in any case, you've got to be better. Have you noticed some other changes?
Oh, sure. You just have a better outlook on life and know that, you know, the Lord is with you in everything that you do. He knows what you do. And just, I've always had a pretty good outlook and try to be nice to people, but it's just things seem to be going your way more than they have been in the past. Excuse me. And, you know, it's a work in progress, but you know the Lord is there, and you try to please Him, and you try to do the right thing, and, you know, the golden rule of treat others as you want to be treated, and just a good attitude for life in general.
Well, I know one thing, John, there's no way you wouldn't be better from what we did that night. Well, it was a couple of weeks ago, wasn't it?
Yes. Oh, yeah. Definitely better.
And,
feel better. Have lots of energy. The diabetes had done never really give me any problems, and the Lord working
in my
field, and so hopefully that will go away or be a lot better, and you know, just remain healthy.
Amen.
And do the right things and have fun in life as best you can. It's all serious, but you got to have fun a little bit and just keep talking to the Lord.
Did you feel lighter that night, John?
No, I really didn't notice that. You feel...
I remember one thing.
You're clear-minded about stuff. You have a real clear mind. You're thinking real sharp about stuff. But I don't know about actually lighter, but it's possible I did, yes.
Yes. The trainee that was sitting in with me, I remember this when we were through that night. We both marveled after you left how you looked so different, that you looked younger and had just a different look on your face. Has anybody commented that about you?
Yes, actually they have, now that you mention it. That's always good to look younger. Geez, that's good. But, I've started in a relationship with a young lady, and she has mentioned that I look pretty good, so that's a good thing for sure. So,
praise God.
Fun to get into a relationship, and she's a godly person, and she's the one that told me to go to your ministry, and so, she's all aboard that I'm doing well, and it's all good.
Now, did you have a back problem or shoulder problem or something?
No, I had a little back problem previously, but I had a knee problem. I hurt my knee playing football years ago, and it didn't bother me too much. But I did have a slight back problem, but no, I'm very fortunate as far as that goes. Other than diabetes and irregular heartbeat, I'm in pretty good shape.
Yes, we do. I think I did the limb check with you, and do you remember if you had a short leg or arm that adjusted?
I did have a slightly shorter leg, yes. That we did.
And it adjusted?
Yes.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
And it doesn't give me...
That's always amazing.
I didn't even realize that, but yeah. I did have.
We had a stranger a while back. I think we had a lady on the radio show a few weeks back, and she told how she was 2 inches taller after we did the limb check. That was a new one for us. She actually grew 2 inches. How's that for a while?
That is amazing. Yeah. Oh, you know, it's a miracle. It's amazing. what you're doing. It's most impressive.
You know, John Wesley that started the Methodist Church did all these things, John. And
right.
You know, I was a Methodist myself for 18 years, but I have a book on some of his sermons, John Wesley. And he did all these things, the baptism of the Holy Spirit with speaking in tongues and the casting out of evil spirits and healing the sick. He even had in there what demons would say out of people's mouths from time to time. And I couldn't help but note it was some of the same things we hear demons say today. Who knows, it may be some of the same demons since John Wesley's days, you know. They come out of people when they die, and they get reassigned. And so probably these demons, you know, from that period, no doubt.
Yeah, well, probably so. You definitely don't want any demons running around your place, that's for sure.
Yes. Well, as we wind up here with you, John, do you have anything else you'd like to share with the listeners?
Read your Bible and talk to Jesus and live a good holy life, and hopefully, things will turn around. If you're down in the dumps, I know a lot of people are. 2020 has been a rough year for everyone, and it's far from over, and it looks like 2021 is going to be rough also. But just keep your head up, do the right thing, try to take care of your family, say your prayers, and we'll all be all right in the end.
Amen. Praise God. We can hold on. We can hold on to our Jesus. What was that?
I said, thanks for having me.
Oh, you bet, John. I'm sure glad you called in. God bless you, brother. Bye-bye.
Yes, thank you, John.
God bless you guys. Merry Christmas.
Yes.
Merry Christmas to you.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye.
That book Pastor Cox is talking about, the diary of John Wesley, is an amazing, amazing book. I know I have it somewhere in my library. I'm in the process of moving, so it's boxed up somewhere. I can't remember the name of it, and I'm not sure if we carry it on ministry or not, but if we don't, we probably should. But as you read it, he documented quite a bit, and, you know, some of that stuff that he documents in his diary is just about as amazing as what's right out of the book of Acts.
Yes. Yeah, I have the book right here in my hand. I keep it in my bookshelf right above my desk here. And it's,
What's the name of that book?
John Wesley, The Holy Spirit and Power, as paraphrased by Claire Weekly. And it's really interesting to read. The chapter 7, he's got the gifts of the Holy Spirit in here, and you just imagine, here he was doing the same things we do, and yet, and a lot of the Methodist churches for many, many decades, for years and years, did the works of Jesus like we're told to do in John 14:12. But as time has gone by, I think the enemy has spoken into the heads of certain pastors with that live program and backed them off of doing those commands.
Yes. Yes, and it was, it's definitely a good read. So if you don't have it out there and you'd like to get it, would you say the title of that book again, Pastor?
Yes, it's Holy Spirit and Power. At the very top, it says John Wesley, a picture of him, in fact, and then at the bottom, as paraphrased by Claire Weekly, that's CLAREWEAKLEY.
Yeah, excellent, excellent book, just a fantastic read, because it just lets you know that, hey, it was done in the book of Acts, it was done during his time, which was in the 1700s, and it's being done.
Hello?
Pastor Cox, I think Ralph dropped off, but we have your next caller. So welcome. Thanks for calling in.
Yes, hello.
Okay. Yes, Armelda, thank you for calling in. Can you hear me okay?
Oh, I can hear you.
All right. Yes. And Ralph was on here. He had a phone problem or something. But, Armelda, why don't you go ahead and give some history on yourself and when you were born again and what was going on in your life, how you learned about deliverance and what your deliverances were like, and I know you've had several, and then changes you've seen in your life, and even recently. So go right ahead and tell it.
Okay. I got born again in 1995. And, you know, I grew up in the Lord. You know, I went to a Baptist church. But, you know, I've never even heard about deliverance, you know, until like maybe 1999. But, you know, I heard about it, but, you know, it was never, I just knew, like, I didn't know, like, the revelation of it or the depth of it or anything like that until I started getting older and I started really experiencing things in my life. You know, and I said, wait a minute, something is wrong. You know, when you start, you know, hitting obstacles and, you know, some things just start, you know, you just start going through some tough times and, you know, you hear about your family history and, you know, you get to see, you know, what went on with grandma, what went on with mama or daddy or your other grandma or grandpa. And you see these cycles and patterns, that has been developed, and it's like something that's being passed through the bloodline and through generational curses. You know, I would always hear about generational curses too, but I never really started seeking deliverance until, you know, something just like, it was like, to me, it was trauma, you know, when I had went through something in school, you know, and, you know, I was supposed to be becoming a nurse and some other things like that, just some things that just was like trauma for me. And I sat down, I was like, wait, and I've always had a relationship with God. You know, I had three kids out of wedlock. I never had a husband. Knew better, but just did what I wanted to do. You know, I felt like some things, you know, I did in my life that caused some of those doors to come open, to cause some things to come up on me. And then a lot of us Christians be like, a lot of people don't want to say, oh, as Christians, we don't say that we got demons. You know, oh, I'm a Christian. I don't have no demons. You know, I don't this and that. A lot of people don't want to say that or say certain evil spirits that are connected to you or anything like that. A lot of people don't want to admit to that or, you know, like, what we Christians, what we're doing with demons. But anyway, I call some of those doors to come open. You know, being in fornication, you know, childhood trauma, being bullied, you know, as a child, even in school, you know, it was always like a fighting demon around me, you know, and things happened, as far as like, I won't say I was molested, but I was looked upon, you know, and I guess that's a still same form of, molestation, I guess, but, I was never touched anything like that, but, I still feel like that was an open door too, you know, to for some things to go on with me, and that put fear in me. So I've had a spirit of fear up on my life all the time. I was always afraid, you know, of just afraid. So when I saw deliverance, it was in 2018, like real deliverance. I heard about it, but it was 2018 in December. And I looked up on the internet, and that's when I found Everett Cox Deliverance Ministry. I said, and I typed in Deliverance Ministry in Oklahoma City. And I think that's the only one I've seen. And I read up on the website what they do, and I set an appointment. I came in. I took a friend with me because I had a friend in college. She was going through some things. I said, hey, if you want to, I think I came by my, me and my son came first. And then I brought my friend with me because she was just going through some things. I said, hey, you need deliverance too. And, you know, the first time I came, you know, I, you know, cause they said, I've heard like this, they said deliverance can be like like, you know, you're an onion and some things just keep peeling off layer by layer, you know, as you work your deliverance and as you work that scripture and you stand on that word and, you know, try to maintain your deliverance and stuff like that. That's how I've done it. So ever since I got delivered the first time and then came back the second time and this third time was Monday, I kept working it. I hadn't stopped. I hadn't stopped praying or believing. I just still noticed that. I said, it's a struggle still there. And some things still happening. And I never knew about a spirit called incubus or succubus. And some people call them spirit husbands, spirit wives, where them spirits come in and, you know, molest you at night or whatever. Creep up on you and crawl up on you, however people want to say it. I'm just keeping it real. And I'm like, hold on, this can't be normal. You know, and that has happened to me for many years. And I said, Lord, something has to give. Something has to break. You know, I said, is there still an open door somewhere? Or what is it? I said, I got to keep it real with myself. I got to keep it real with the people that's trying to help me and deliver me. I got to be able to find out what's really happening. You know, because it was, you know, and then it was happening like for a while, and then it would stop, then it would come back. And I said, wait a minute, where is this open door at? You know, and I was like, I mean, it was just like really frustrating because I was like, is my situation so hopeless to where I can't get no help? You know, it would be really put me in a state of hopelessness. Like, man, my situation, my case is too heavy for, like, God himself. Can you even, you know, deliver me? And I know that God is a true deliverer. So I said, you know what? I'm going to call and reach back out again and say if I can come back in. And that's when I you know, text Mr. Cox and I said, I need somebody experienced with my case because my case is hard. I need somebody to really get down deep in there and, you know, deliver me, you know, and help me. And that's when I came in and, you know, I came in for deliverance and, you know, I was able to really just put it all out there, you know, and be honest and just say, hey, this thing is still visiting me. It's the issues, but I still never stopped believing God. I still never stopped praying. I still never stopped quoting scriptures and, excuse me, believing God for my change and for my breakthrough. I never stopped working that deliverance and doing what I could on my end. And when I came in for deliverance, you know, I just, you know, I felt so much freedom. And it was just like, ooh, Jesus. You know, it was just like a freedom that I have not ever experienced. I know the first time and second time I came in, I could tell it was just, you know, some release on me. But it was not like that third time. It was like, yes, Lord, you know. And I said, Lord, I received my deliverance in the name of Jesus. You know, and I know his power in his name. And I was like, there is no case that's too hard for God where he cannot deliver. And set you free. And I said, Lord, if I'm willing to do my part, because before I even pulled up, I was sitting in the parking lot, I was praying. I said, Lord, I want to experience total freedom and deliverance. You know, I said, I feel like I've been bound all my life. And I said, I feel like, you know, my case was so hard. I said, I feel like, you know, like I've done so much as far as like, you know, having children and, you know, wedlock and fornicating and going to parties and going to clubs and just doing stuff that I knew I really didn't have no business even doing, but I was doing it. And I was like, yeah, I called some of those doors. I had to repent. You know, I would always repent and ask God to forgive me, but it seemed like some way something would be pulling me back, you know. And then I said, okay, either I'm going to be on the Lord's side or I'm going to be out here in the world. So I had made a conscious decision, said, you know what? I mean, it was way back, but I'm saying I still felt like, because maybe I didn't know how to close doors. And sometimes you don't know how to close doors, or you don't. You know, you open them, but you don't know how to, you know, get the demons out on your own. And then you don't know the strategic prayers to pray to get them out. And then you don't know how to keep them out until you get the help and you seek help. So that's just kind of how I ended up where I'm at today.
Yes, well, you did good. And Armelda, we went through dealing with the breaking some ungodly soul ties, and then we moved into dealing with the trauma door. You had your share of traumas and things that happened even as a child, and Jesus took those bad feelings. What'd that feel like?
Oh, wow. It felt really awesome because, you know, it's like you develop a different mindset. You know, even from that first deliverance, I was never still the same. I knew, you know, I still experienced some things, but that from that very first time, my whole life transitioned. I'm telling the truth, and I'm not making this up as I go. My whole life transitioned. It did. My mindset and everything, my whole attitude, I knew for a fact that I had been delivered. And I said, okay, God, I was still working it. I could still see some things that, you know, I was still needing some help on. But it was just like a freedom. It's a freedom out of this world, you know, to walk in freedom.
Armelda. Mm-hmm. Armelda, when I finally got the hit demon up? We got several up at first and got hold of the hit demon, which, as I recall, was lust. And what was all that like? Could you hear it talking through your mouth?
Yes. Yes, I did. Mm-hmm. Like I said, I had to come in there and be real. You know, I've always been, you know, like I said, I had three kids out of wedlock. I was in fornication for a long time. You know, I had been, you know, I hadn't been, it's been maybe like almost, 8 or 9 years since I've not been in fornication, but I was in fornication for a long time. I had my first child at 16. And, you know, I had another one at 19. I was a child, raising a child. So, you know, I was always, you know, I felt like if I had a boyfriend, I had to, you know, you give me this, I give you that. The head demon was lust. Because, you know, you automatically assume that, hey, you're going to be, you intimate with somebody, y'all boyfriend, girlfriend without marriage. I knew it was wrong, but I did it anyway. So I felt like something was overshadowing me and overtaking me, you know, over against my will, against my own will, you know, because afterwards
that
I would feel
demon,
so bad and cry, you know.
That demon said it came in at age 13, if I remember right.
Huh?
You remember that? That demon, lust, said it came in at age 13.
Yes, and that was because because I would go to my grandma's house and we would sleep, but my uncle that was an alcoholic would just take our clothes off and look at us, but would never touch us, but look at us. And that's how that demon came to that, because I would start covering up our shame. That's where shame came in at. So yes, sir. That's when it came in right there. And it wasn't that I was even sexually active back then, but that's how it came in.
So anyway, as we moved along through the ministry, it admitted it was causing some things, some disease that you had there. It was responsible for that. And when we finally cast them all out, have you seen changes in your life?
Oh, absolutely. It's like, you know, because I was being tormented in my dream, you know, and, you know, I just thank God, because I say I'm a dreamer. I'm like Joseph. God has given, you know, I had dreams when I was a little girl and I never understood them, but he gives me dreams. You know, I'm just like Joseph. I have a dream and, you know, I dream, and my dreams was being, I was being tormented in my dreams. And I said, Lord, I don't want to be tormented in my dreams. I want to have good dreams like I used to when I was, you know, smaller, you know. But I was being tormented in those dreams, so it's like I slept so wonderful after that deliverance. Oh, my God. It was like, oh, Jesus. It was just like sweet sleep, you know. And
right,
I just thank God for that
because
my dreams hadn't been tormented.
Yes. Well, the demons were causing that, of course, and it admitted that, as I recall, as we asked the head demon about it. Now, he gave the lies. He was talking into your head, those lies. And we went over
The demon used to tell me all the time that God didn't even love me. I always thought that the Lord didn't love me because of my hardship and things that I went through in life. I believed for a long time that God didn't even love me. I believed that for a long time.
Armelda, you may recall, the head demon of lust admitted that those lies, the opposites of the lies is the truth. And so after
yes.
the deliverance, we went through and reversed the lies.
Yes. Yes.
That can't help
yes.
you make a guy feel better. Amen.
Yeah, absolutely.
Reversing
yes.
those
absolutely.
Lies.
I feel,
hallelujah.
You know, and I feel God's love, you know, I always feel when the Holy Spirit come on me anyway. I always feel it. I feel the anointing and his love come up on me. I do. And I felt that, and, you know, I can appreciate that because I was like, you know, yes, God, my case is hard, and, oh, God, I'm being tormented. But I said, evil don't override good. And I just thank God for, you know, setting me free and, you know, using you to deliver me. And I just thank God, you know, for his love and his compassion and wanted me to be free because
Carmel,
the deliverance is the children's bread, and I thank God for that.
Yes, Armel, the demon gave, it struck his head in the storehouse of God-given gifts that I commanded it to do, and it called out your gifts. I remember I about ran out of space to write all your gifts down. Did you know you had so many good gifts?
Not all of them, but I've been told before by prophets some stuff, but not, you know, and here's the thing. I did not know that, and I've always been, like, really, you know, gifted with a lot of things, but it's like, well, why can't I use them? You know, if this is true, where, you know, I said, where's the manifestation of them at, you know? So, and I thought when I saw that list, I said, well, Lord, I got all these gifts on the inside of me. I want to apply them. I want them to be used for your uh-huh. glory. I want to bless the works of my hand. You know, I want to see some freedom. I really, truly want to see, like, when people are really, truly free and they live that freedom, I said, Lord, I want to experience that, too. I'm a child of God. That's exactly what I want to experience, and I intend to.
Armelda, you remember that the head demon admitted that because of your gifts, that's why he was trying to block your life so.
Yes.
Remember that?
Yes.
So
and
those,
I can see why, because my life has been always hard. You know, and I said, Lord, it can't be this hard. It just can't be. You know, so I can see why. Yeah.
Yes, those demons were blocking your life. And that's common with Christians all around us. I was saying earlier in the broadcast, these demons we keep seeing are doing a lot more to block our lives than we realize. And that's why it behooves mm-hmm. Christians to get some understanding about this type of ministry and learn how to do it or go to someone that can set you free from them. Because
yes.
it appears
yes.
that
yes.
all Christians have these demons on them. They come through the generational door. They come through the unforgiveness door. And there's 15 doors we've learned about that these evil spirits come through. So well, now I'm so excited for you with those gifts that you're going to see huge changes in your life.
I receive it in Jesus Christ's name.
Hallelujah. Praise God. Maybe the Lord will even lead you to go through our training. Armelda.
Amen. Yes, sir. You know, I had thought about that when I left. You know, I kind of thought about that when I had left. I was like, well, you know, it's a thought.
Well, sure. And, of course, all Christians need to know how to do this. It's not a
yes.
special gift area at all. It's normal Christianity. Jesus commanded all believers to do this. And somehow mm-hmm. the church has overlooked those commands. It appears. Well, we're running out of time. In a minute or so remaining, what else would you say to the listeners before we sign off with you?
I would really encourage people to seek deliverance, you know, whether they think they got demons or not. If everybody could benefit from deliverance, I would encourage, you know, people to, you know, come out and, you know, and really experience the freedom that was really meant to be lived, you know. Because if people have a little inkling of thinking something is wrong, or they know a friend, they know a family member, they know somebody in their life, even themselves, you know, something is wrong. And, you know, anger and all that kind of stuff, God ain't wanting that. Depression and all that stuff is not normal. I'm telling you. that addictions and none of that. That is not normal. So I would encourage people to seek deliverance, come out, get delivered, get healed, get set free, and be who God called you to be in Jesus' name.
Praise God. That was wonderful, Armel. That was a fantastic testimony. God bless you, Adele. Go get her out there.
Yes, God bless you. Thank you so very much. Thank you so very much. I receive.
Yes.
Thank you. I receive my deliverance. Total deliverance. Freedom in Jesus Christ.
Okay.
Yes, thank you for coming on. Thank you for coming on.
You.
Good evening.
Okay, God bless. Bye-bye.
Bye.
I think she would be a good team leader. Sometimes you when you hear them, you there's certain things they say and enthusiasm that, you know, I think they'd make a pretty good team leader. At the very least, if you're not, you know, be someone who comes to Deliverance Ministries on Monday night and be a team leader, the training doesn't hurt because the training helps keep self-deliverance.
Amen. Well, Ralph seemed to have gone off there. So, again, thanks, everyone, for listening to the testimonies tonight. Go forward in learning more about this, Mark 16:17, John 14:12, where Jesus told believers to do his works in his name. All Christians can do it. Again, it's not a special gift. It is normal Christianity. So God bless everyone, and Deliverance Ministries, that's deliverance ministries USA.com. And if you'd want to call, area code 405-842-5509 in Oklahoma City. So God bless everyone, and Merry Christmas.
Luke chapter 10, verse 19.
I have given you authority to trample on snakes.